If you love the national parks as much as we do, then we have a book recommendation for you.
Moon USA National Parks Hiking is a brand new guidebook from Moon Travel Guides that covers the top 100 hikes across 40 U.S. national parks.
Whether you want to descend into the Grand Canyon, stroll the shoreline in Acadia, or cling to the cliff edges in Shenandoah, Moon USA National Parks Hiking gives you the inspiration to find the perfect hike for you and the practical planning tips to make it happen. You'll find everything from easy, family-friendly hikes to strenuous, multi-day treks, plus tips for wildlife watching, backpacking, finding solitude, and more.
This book is an essential resource for National Parks fans, as well as a fantastic holiday gift for any outdoorsy people on your list.
You can find Moon USA National Parks Hiking wherever books are sold, or click the link in our show notes. And if you don't already have a copy on your shelf, be sure to also check out the original award-winning best-selling guide that started it all, Moon USA National Parks.
Find your trail and prepare for an unforgettable journey in America's top national parks with Moon Travel Guides. Moon, let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide. Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
But Trail Mix also allows us an opportunity to chat about traveling and talk about things we are excited about when it comes to hiking, camping, and being outdoors. This episode is all about dark sky parks.
So let's start here. Do you like the dark?
I have grown to appreciate it more. I mean, I am the mistress of the night.
No, you're the queen of darkness herself. The queen of the night, like with the aria and everything from Magic Flute.
I can't right now.
Right. I know. Neither of us can.
You can hear my gruff.
Correct. So, but what has been your journey with darkness? Not that kind of darkness. I mean the literal darkness.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy a good celestial event just like anybody in the world. I think that there have been plenty of times that I've gotten up to watch the sunrise or have watched a meteor shower or stayed outside to watch the moon eclipse. I feel like I really enjoy those sort of events. And I feel like we have often tried to have dark sky experiences and really see some spectacular stars, but most of the time that hasn't happened for us.
That is true. Yeah. But I mean, like the dark. Like, do you like sleeping in the dark? Do you generally the dark? That's what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know how people sleep with the light on.
Like, some people do.
I know.
Some people need
I'm
to leave
looking at one.
television on. I don't leave a light on.
You leave a light on often.
I often leave lights on. That is true.
Yeah.
But not when I'm sleeping.
Yeah, but you could also fall asleep whenever, wherever.
That is true. I could fall asleep in full light with no problem.
Right.
There are some people who are like, I need complete darkness.
Oh, yeah. Because circadian rhythms, baby.
I've never been one to sleep with a sleep mask on,
but
I probably could.
I mean,
that's not like a
far reach for you.
That's not a far reach at all.
No, you're like, talk about luxury sleeping.
I mean, I'm the luxury is that I tend to sleep well most of the time. So like having a sleep mask on, I probably could. I just don't like the idea of opening my eyes and seeing black. Like, I would like to open my eyes to see something,
sure,
not just abyss.
But I guess it could be your test run for Bird Box.
I guess it could, though. I mean, can we have more bird and less box when it comes to that? Did you ever go through a period of time where you were afraid of the dark?
Yes, I did.
You
when
did.
I was a child.
In your 20s.
When I was but a sugar younger. Yeah, when I was a kid, I definitely was like a nightlight kid for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like that was like a safety blanket to ward off the evils. I also feel like that's sort of like a kid thing, is to like have a healthy fear of the dark because it's the unknown.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of Freudian or Jungian like explanation of that.
The dark. I used to do a thing, because I used to also be afraid of the dark, where I would walk through the house and I would have to walk ahead and turn a light on.
Oh,
and
I would
walk
do that.
Back and turn a light off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that I'm illuminated all the way to where I was going.
Yeah. When I was home alone, I would turn all the lights on in the house.
Oh, without
a
doubt.
To ward off people and evil.
That's it. That's right. Did you watch that show?
Oh, yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Mm-hmm. Which was never that scary.
I'm cold.
Uh-huh. But they made it seem very scary.
They did. Well, it was like the X-Files for kids.
I know. Mm-hmm. But like at the end of every episode, it was always like the ghost or the spirit was just like a kind person trying to reach out to, you know, understand who they were. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like it was never nefarious, right? There was one time it was nefarious and it was very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an episode called The Night Shift, and I've never forgotten it.
Mm.
And it was about ghosts in a hospital.
Oh.
And there was a jump scare in that episode that was so far beyond what should have been allowed in
for Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon or network or whatever. I remember watching it late and I could not sleep for days. Mm. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about stargazing? Have you had experiences stargazing?
Every time I look at you.
There it is. Oh my God. Wow. There it is, everybody.
Yeah, I said it so. I love to gaze at the stars, just like I love to gaze at the national parks.
There it is.
Wink.
There it is.
Add that like little sparkle noise in post-credit.
I will. Or it'll be you. But
it'll
yes, you will.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy a stargaze, especially like if there's telescope involved, you know, which is not often.
No. I had a telescope as a kid.
I did too.
Yeah.
Look at us, privileged.
And gay.
And gay. And with telescopes, we were so popular. They do like that little rotating star map that'll tell you like what constellations are where. I really do that.
It had a little fastener in the middle so it would spin.
That's right. I have one of those and I do enjoy it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I still sometimes will get out there and look if it's like particularly dark. But
sure.
Where I live, it's not particularly dark.
No.
So let's talk specifically about dark sky parks or dark sky places, why they exist, and where you might be able to find one.
The night sky is one of our largest natural resources. And while there are many places throughout the world that preserve the night sky, this is a resource we are quickly losing due to light pollution. The data shows that artificial light at night, also known as ALAN, is growing by 2% every year.
The organization that designates dark sky places is called Dark Sky International. It was previously known as the International Dark Sky Association. They determine which areas are deemed dark sky places. Now, we say places because, yes, dark sky parks are a term, but there are also a few different designations, which we'll get to shortly.
You may be wondering why dark skies are important to preserve. Well, stargazing is not the only reason why darkness and the night sky need to be preserved. It's for me. While stargazing is great and it helps us to study the area around the Earth, preserving the darkness helps us to preserve nocturnal ecosystems. This is important because almost 70% of all wildlife is nocturnal. That includes everything these species need to do in order to survive, including hunting, mating, and migrating, all of which happen at night for them.
Okay, let's take a moment with that. 70%.
I didn't think it was that high.
It's that high, girl.
Yeah, that's a lot.
70% of all species are nocturnal.
Yeah.
70%. These are species that, you know, do things like aerate the ground, that pollinate. Mm-hmm. All of these things happen at night, and they need darkness in order to live.
Yeah.
Let's dive a little bit more into the effects on nocturnal ecosystems. Let's start with migration patterns. Artificial light has resulted in almost a billion bird deaths per year, specifically birds colliding into buildings.
Pollination cycles are affected when nocturnal species do not feel it's dark enough to emerge. This also goes for animal populations and predator-prey relationships, which are directly affected by the increase in artificial light at night.
Other examples include sea turtle babies crawling toward land due to light instead of toward the ocean. And insect populations are constantly affected by this, leading to the loss of over a trillion insects per year.
Humans are also affected. The body requires time with light and darkness, and an overexposure to artificial light at night can affect one's natural melatonin production.
So maybe that's the case.
You know,
maybe that's the deal for
you. I just need to like crawl into a cave.
You need to be in darkness more.
Like a mole person.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And here is another disturbing statistic. 80% of Americans cannot see the Milky Way at night.
Yikes, but also that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Therefore, dark sky places help to preserve space for humans to be able to see the stars and space around them, as well as preserve nocturnal ecosystems. Not to mention the historical and cultural role that the night sky has played in human history.
Now, what is Dark Sky International and what is their mission? A little bit about them from their website. Quote, Dark Sky International restores the nighttime environment and protects communities from the harmful effects of light pollution through outreach, advocacy, and conservation. Founded as the International Dark Sky Association in 1988, Dark Sky is the globally recognized authority on light pollution issues and night sky conservancy. We certify and help conserve starry sky parks, communities, and other places around the world. Through a rigorous certification process, we enable communities to protect ecologically sensitive areas, the public's connection to nature, and our universal heritage.
We work with communities, manufacturers, retailers, and other entities to evaluate and certify dark sky friendly outdoor lighting for commercial, industrial, and residential uses. We work with communities and governments to prioritize night sky protection and quality outdoor lighting. We inform the public how excessive artificial light can harm humans, wildlife, and our climate. End quote.
Now, what does it take for a place to be considered a dark sky place? Well, it needs to meet some pretty rigorous standards. First is a sky quality assessment. This requires parks to monitor the quality and visibility of the night sky across several seasons.
They are also required to have a light management plan. This includes a commitment to and record of dark, friendly, artificial lighting. That includes schedules for replacements, records of wattage and adherence to specific brightness and color levels.
Also, education programs. Parks and areas must provide educational events and programming with which visitors can engage and appreciate the night sky. And along with this, community engagement, including support from local municipalities and conservation organizations, and the documentation to prove such support.
And finally, an ongoing commitment. Parks and areas required to submit reports annually so that they might be recertified as a dark sky park or a dark sky place. And generally speaking, achieving the status of a dark sky park from Dark Sky International takes about 1 to 3 years of commitment and evaluation. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across 2 separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala. All in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Okay, so this is not an easy process to become a dark sky place. There's a lot of paperwork involved.
Which is why I think there are some parks that are just being recognized for this. You know,
for
the first time, even though they have obviously consistently been an area or a place that is a dark sky place.
Correct.
Just without that international designation.
Meaning like it's a good stargazing place.
Yeah.
But there are other things involved with rather than just it being good for stargazing.
Yep.
There are other things that, as we just heard, that too, and also document in order to be considered a dark sky place.
Yep. There are many designations from Dark Sky International. Let's start first with International Dark Sky Park. This designation includes national parks, national monuments, and state parks that are located on protected land who also have public access. An example of this would be Death Valley National Park in the U.S., De Bosch Plot, located in the Netherlands, and Kozushima Dark Sky Island in Japan.
There is also International Dark Sky Reserve. This includes an area with a focused dark zone, but may be surrounded by areas of population. Examples of this include Namibrand Nature Reserve in Namibia, and also Kerry in Ireland.
A dark sky sanctuary is another type of designation that is used for dark, remote areas with exceptional darkness and stargazing. Examples of this designation include Gabriela Mistral in Chile and the Oregon Outback in the U.S.
There is also dark sky communities, a designation used for municipalities, cities, or towns that have committed to the Dark Sky International guidelines for a dark sky place. Some examples of this include Jelsa, Croatia, Moab, Utah in the U.S., and the very first of this designation, Flagstaff, Arizona in the U.S.
And finally, there is the designation of Urban Night Sky Place, which is considered a darker area inside of an otherwise light-polluted region. Examples of this include Frye Family Park in Stark County, Ohio in the U.S., and also the Jackson Hole Airport in Wyoming, also in the U.S.
There are many benefits to dark sky areas, particularly economical ones. Here are some great reasons to preserve darkness when it comes to money. Dark sky tourism certainly increases the tourism of an area. It also provides access for scientists for hands-on learning.
Other benefits include reduced carbon emissions. This especially goes for the U.S., whose outdoor lighting produces about 21 million tons of carbon dioxide a year. It also lowers operation cost and reduces artificial light and energy use.
How about those carbon emissions?
Woo.
That's just
not
for outdoor light.
Great.
No. Yeah. The benefits of a dark night sky only increase the more we preserve the night sky. And we encourage everyone to research the areas you are visiting, engage with the dark night sky, and consider implementing some dark sky practices into your daily life.
Just ask me. Consider using light only when you need it. Natural light is best, and for those like me who love to photograph yourself, it also makes you look best in your photos.
Also, choose the proper lighting and fixtures. Choose warmer bulbs that have a 3000 K wattage or lower, and choose shielded lights that send the light downward.
And finally, make sure that you adjust your light so it's not getting into your neighbor's yard or generally into your neighbor's area. This goes for so many social settings. Anytime you open your phone, you are producing light. So having self-awareness about when you are producing light and the direction it is headed is always appreciated.
The sources for today's Trail Mix include Dark Sky International, the NPS, and darkskyoverland.com. Now let's end this Trail Mix with a game.
Great.
All right, Mike, are you ready for our game?
I am.
Okay, here's how it works. It's a pretty simple game.
Great.
Okay, so of all of the NPS sites, 47 of those are dark sky places.
Oh.
They have earned that title, either as a dark sky sanctuary, dark sky reserve, or a dark sky park, or a dark sky community.
Okay.
Now, of the 63 big national parks, 18 of them are considered dark sky parks.
Well, it's about a third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this game, I want to see if you can name all 18 dark sky parks.
Wow. Okay.
And this is how the game works. You only get three
wrongs
before the game is done.
Great.
I will give you this major clue.
Nine of them are in Alaska.
No. We have been to 17 of the 18 dark sky parks.
Wow.
Of the national parks.
Wow.
In the NPS. So.
And have we had dark sky experiences in many of them? No, we have not.
Yeah, well.
Because of the moonlight. Because correct. Of Leanne Rimes.
There it is. Because we couldn't fight the moonlight.
No, we could not.
So, okay. I give it over to you. Can you name all 18 of the national parks that are considered dark sky parks?
Okay, so Grand Canyon.
That is one.
Painted Desert, Petrified Forest.
Petrified Forest is one, yeah. Yep.
Canyonlands.
Yes. Oh my God, you're doing so well.
Arches.
Yes.
Capitol Reef.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, for the suspense. Mm-hmm. Bryce Canyon.
Correct.
Zion.
Correct. Oh my God. You've gotten none wrong so far.
Okay. Now I'm nervous.
Hold on 1 second. We have been to 16 of the 18.
Okay. 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 Corrections corner here.
Corrections corner. 16 of the 18.
Great Sand Dunes.
Yes, correct. God, you are nailing it.
Mesa Verde?
Correct. Oh my God, you are.
Black Canyon of the Gunnison?
That is correct, yeah.
I'm a little nervous to say the other Colorado park, but I'm going to say Rocky Mountain?
No.
Okay.
So, that's one
I
down.
See, I had a thought that it probably wasn't. That's interesting to me. But I have 10, right? I think I got 10 of them.
Let me count.
9? 9 or 10.
You've gotten 10 so far.
Okay, so I need.
There are 8 remaining.
But I need to get 6 more that we've been to.
Well, I'm also going to see if you can get the other 2.
Oh, yeah.
But you only have 2 more wrong guesses.
I know. Pressure. Joshua Tree.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So
now Death you're Valley.
11. Correct.
Right. Theodore Roosevelt.
No. Incorrect.
Interesting. It's got to be that.
Theodore Roosevelt.
It has to be that educational piece. Sorry. I need 6 more. Glacier.
Correct. Okay. Yes, Glacier in Montana. So you have, I'm going to tell you how many you have left to guess.
I have 5.
You have 5 left, 3 of which we've been to, 2 of which we have not been to. Let me see what other guesses I can give you. All 5 of these are in different states.
Mm. Oh, Channel Islands.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
No.
It's that education piece.
Also, it's pretty close to a shore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but it's out there.
Okay, I'm gonna give you hints to see if you can get the rest.
Okay, great.
2 of them are desert parks we've been to.
What is White Sands?
No.
Oh. What is Saguaro?
That is correct.
Okay.
Saguaro is also considered it like an urban dark sky park,
uh-huh.
too.
Well, that
or
makes
a dark
sense.
Sky place.
Yeah.
So Saguaro, what else?
Another desert park. Oh, what is Big Bend?
That's right.
I forgot about her.
That's
and
right.
And what about...
So now we've got 3 left, one of which we've been to, which might be considered a surprise because the majority of this park is underground.
Oh, really?
Really.
What is Wind Cave?
No.
Oh, what is Carlsbad?
No.
What is the other one? Mammoth Cave.
That is correct. Yep. Mammoth Cave National Park.
Okay.
Okay. And so now we're into 2 we've not been to.
Okay.
1, we were sort of near this year, but we still have not been there.
What is Lassen?
No, but you're in the right area.
What is Redwoods?
No, still in the right area, not correct state.
What is Crater Lake?
No, the other state.
What is Great Basin?
There you go. Okay, so there's that. And now hop to the Midwest for this other one that's at the north end of a state in the Midwest.
That we haven't been to yet.
That we have not been to.
What is... Voyagers?
That's it.
There
Voyagers is the other one. Mm. So those are the 18 national parks that are considered dark sky parks.
That was a messy final 5 for me.
It was. But you got so many of those.
I got 12.
Right off the bat. You got 12.
Right off the bat.
That's right. Right off the bat. You got 12. Good job.
Thanks. It's because I'm queen
of the darkness.
Look Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.